This week's podcast is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Please consider giving a gift to keep this podcast running along with other From the Top programming. Go to fromthetop.org.
It's NPR's From the Top, the showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country celebrating 10 years on the air. Today from Swayze Chapel on the campus of Denison University in Granville, Ohio, it's an all-alumni show featuring some of our favorite performers from past programs, including a gifted 15-year-old pianist performing the music of Lowell Lieberman and a charismatic 20-year-old baritone singing a tour de force number from Carousel by Rodgers and Hammerstein. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Here's our host, one of America's great concert pianists, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thanks very much, and welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Many thanks to Denison University's Vail series for bringing us back to this picture-perfect college town. We've had some great visits here in the past, but this time we're especially happy to be here to celebrate two anniversaries, the Vail series' 30th, 30 years of bringing some of the world's greatest artists to Denison University, and our 10th, 10 years of presenting the best young classical musicians in the country. So, to celebrate this confluence of anniversaries, we've put together a rather spectacular show, if I do say so myself. We're going to bring back five of the very, very best young musicians we've met on our travels across America. Three of today's guests are teenagers, but two are a little older and are actively pursuing careers in music. There's the 20-year-old baritone Joanne mentioned. He's in his third year at the Juilliard School. And then there's a 26-year-old violist who appeared in one of our first seasons. She has one of the most dynamic and eclectic careers of anyone I know. Still playing and teaching classical music, she's touring with one of the best-known indie rock bands, The Rentals, playing also on recording sessions for other artists and even writing film scores. No, she's not a teenager anymore, but she sure has the energy of one. No need to wait for her high energy, though. We've got one of the most turbocharged musicians in our history up first. Please welcome, from New York City, 14-year-old violinist Anna Lee. Anna, welcome. Are you ready to apply your high energy to a little Spanish dance?
Woo!
Okay, I guess so. Or olé, as you might say. Tell everyone what we're going to hear.
We're going to play Manuel de Falla's Danza Español, arranged by Fritz Kreisler.
All right. When you're ready, we'll take it from the top. Thank you. Ali, 14 years old, from New York City, playing Defaya. Spectacular playing there, Anna.
Thank you.
My gosh, I'm sort of choked up. I mean, my God, I've played with you when you were 11, and now you're 14, and all grown up as, gosh, you're an artist.
Thank
At 14,
you.
It's such a pleasure to play with you. It's so fiery and so polished. It's beautiful. Okay, Anna, who's this?
One time at school, we were having a debate in fourth grade, and there was this kid, he really didn't like me because I used to boss over him, telling him to get working. My team won by like a million points practically, and he was so mad, like he was fuming, and like from that day on, he called me little girl, big attitude.
Oh.
Well, that's me when I was 11.
Yeah. What do you think? How does it feel hearing your voice back like that?
It sounds kind of weird. You know, I sound kind of preppy and like really chirpy. Am I still like that?
Yeah, you sound so much more, you know, demure and aloof now, you know. Actually, get used to it. After 10 years, I'm still very embarrassed hearing my own voice on the radio. But you were only 11 then. Now you're a grown woman of 14. It's not that you're chirpy. You're seriously stressed. So talk to me. What's the deal? At school? Everything?
Well, I'm in high school. Yay! Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot of work. And
not just any high school. I mean, a very high level.
I mean, I go to the Dalton School in Manhattan. Yeah. And it's an academically very challenging school. And I really enjoy it there, actually. I love the curriculum. Only thing is, I go to sleep at 1. I wake up around 6.
But here's where I worry about you. I mean, apparently when you're stressed, you talk to inanimate objects.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I talk to myself, and I talk to my violin. But I don't talk to my bow. So see, I'm not that crazy. I can totally imagine my violin talking back to me. You know, I can imagine eyes, eyebrows.
It's got kind of a face, yeah.
Nose sort of and violin. Mouth. And sometimes when I'm hallucinating enough, I'll see something talking back to me. That's on really bad days. Like, I'm staying up till 3 in the morning going like, hey.
I know, because you're 4 hours of sleep. And I mean, I was going to ask you about that, too, because, I mean, getting that little sleep, is there anything you do to, you know, kind of give yourself some more energy?
We moved into a new apartment this past summer, and it came with this refrigerator that with a filter. So, you know, we can do ice cubes and water, and I was just, like, really excited. And so I pressed the ice cube button. I put in, like, a Ziploc or whatever. I just, like, shove it down my back. Or I just,
ice
like, drop it on my head.
Go, nice. Whoo! And that...
It just totally helped. I go, whoa! Okay, I'm awake now.
Did you do ice cubes before you came out on stage? I mean, you came out of the out of the gate like a shot.
I mean, if I did ice cubes, I would be all over the place right now. I don't know if you want that.
Gosh.
Although I am a turbo, you know, close to one.
So you're disciplined on the one hand, but now you're dousing yourself in ice cubes and talking to your violin.
And talking to myself.
I was going to say, it's been wonderful
watching
you grow up, and I'm a little worried now. No, seriously, Anna. It's really wonderful seeing your development, and I'm so glad things are going so well. And gosh, you're working so hard, and it's doing so well for you. Watching you grow up, I should tell our listeners, we actually have photos of all the alumni on today's show, then and now, on our website at fromthetop.org. Anna, I hope it won't add too much stress to your life if you come back at the end of the show. You're going to join me in the final movement of the 4AC Minor Piano Quartet. I'm really looking forward to that.
Me too.
Great.
All right,
great
Defaya.
See you soon. Bravo, Anna. Anna Lee, 14 years old, from New York City.
Remember, to see pictures of the performers on today's All Alumni Show, both when they were young and innocent and today older and wiser, go to fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org. Chris.
15-year-old Colton Peltier is one of my favorite pianists of any age. He comes to us from Hastings, Minnesota. Colton, last time you came on our show, you blew the doors off Harris Hall in Aspen playing Franz Liszt. But when you chose your repertory for this show, you came up with a wonderful 20th century piece. Tell everybody what it is and maybe why you like it.
Okay, this piece is called Gargoyles, and it's by a composer named Lowell Lieberman. And the last movement is great because it just, like, builds up. And so, like, it sounds like gargoyles are, like, dancing and stuff. It's awesome.
It's devilishly difficult, yeah. Virtuoso piece, and we're looking forward to it. Stage is yours.
Thank you.
Colton Peltier, 15 years old from Hastings, Minnesota, playing Lowell Lieberman's Gargoyles. We heard the third movement, Allegro Moderato, and the fourth movement, Presto. Colton, Gargoyles, and it's a diabolical title, and it reminds me, as I'm listening to you play this, I'm wanting to ask you whether you've made some kind of deal with the devil to play like that. Have you?
Yeah, I talked to him last Tuesday.
There you go. Let's hope he doesn't collect for many years to come. That was an extraordinary performance, and
thank you.
I've heard that piece before. I don't think I've heard it played any better. It's just extraordinary to hear you, as always. Colton, just like with Anna, we want to take a little trip down memory lane.
Yay.
Listen to this excerpt from that show in Aspen. We had just learned that your dad had played Major League Baseball and your mom was a serious swimmer at Notre Dame.
Both parents are amazing athletes, but I'm figuring they must be musical too?
No.
But they must know a lot about classical music, right?
Mm-mm.
No. So, Colton, where do you come from, then?
Oh, no one knows. I'm kind of the rebel of the thing.
Again, suspicions of his diabolical past and present. I remember talking to your parents when I first met you. They were honestly shell-shocked by your musical abilities. But since then, your mom, in particular, has become just like her former swimming coach. She really pushes you like an athlete. I mean, so do you have a certain number of hours a day that you have to practice?
Well, I do like six. Mm-hmm. And like, if I don't finish six, she has like a whip. And she's like, Colton, go practice! It's like a timer. And she like wears around her neck. She's like, okay, if you don't finish, you're grounded. You're grounded.
So, grounded, huh?
No, it doesn't get that bad, but she's.
And I don't remember her voice being anything like that either.
It's the best impersonation I can do.
But so. Is she there with a megaphone over the piano? You know, don't stop now, Colton. You know, all that stuff. How about? Seriously though, do you practice 6 hours straight, or do you take breaks? I mean, you know.
I take breaks like 10 minutes every hour or so.
That's good. It's impossible to concentrate that hard for that long, I think. So,
yep.
Your mom also flies with you to New York for lessons. How often do you go to New York for lessons?
Well, my dad goes with me too sometimes, and I go to New York like once a month or so for lessons with Johanna Kuklinski, who's at Juilliard.
Veda is wonderful. You actually have two great teachers. Veda, of course, is a wonderful friend of ours, and back in Minneapolis, my old friend, Dr. Paul Wirth. What sorts of things are they talking at you about these days?
They're talking to me about, like, the idea of the piece, articulation for everything that has to do going into a piece. They both are extremely great teachers, and Paul is, first of all, very encouraging teacher, and so is Veda, and they're both great with different... I don't know. It's like,
they sort of have complementary styles of teaching, would you say?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not, you know, they're not conflicting. Veda, I know as a real, you know, detail oriented teacher.
Yeah.
And Paul, as you say, is just such a warm and encouraging presence, as well as, you know, knowing all the details.
Yeah.
Just fantastic. We're all just so terribly, terribly excited about your burgeoning career and your fantastic playing, and also. Great to be with your parents again. Such lovely people. Colton, great being with you.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Colton Peltier, 15 years old, from Hastings, Minnesota. Our third young performer on this all-alumni spectacular is a quite spectacular 20-year-old baritone, now living in New York and in his third year at the Juilliard School. Please welcome John Brancy. John, there really are some musical theater pieces that are on the cusp of the operatic, I'd say, and you're about to sing one of them. Would you please introduce it?
Yes, I'm about to sing Soliloquy from Carousel. This happens in the second act, right at the end of the second act. In this piece, Billy Bigelow, the main character, is kind of hitting an apex of the whole play, and he's all these different emotions and things that are happening to him are really coming to, you know, an absolute. He's also found out that he's soon to have a child, and this is all about his thought process over that.
I wonder what he'll think of me. I bet he'll call me the old man. I bet he'll think I could lick every other fella's father. Well, I can. I bet that he'll turn out to be the spitting image of his dad. But he'll have more common sense than his pudding-headed father ever had. I'll teach him to wrestle and dive for a wave when we go in the mornings for a swim. His mother can teach him the way to behave, but she won't make a sissy out of him. Not him, not my boy, not Bill. Bill. My boy Bill, I will see that he's named after me. I will. My boy Bill, he'll be tall and as tough as a tree. We'll build like a tree. He'll grow with his head held high and his feet planted firm on the ground. And you won't see nobody dare to try to boss him or toss him around. No fat-bottomed, flabby-faced, pot-bellied, baggy-eyed bastard will boss him around. I'll be damned if he marries his boss's daughter, a skinny-lipped virgin with blood like water, who'll give him a peck and call it a kiss, and look into his eyes through a lorgnette. Say, why am I taking on like this? My kid ain't even been born yet. I can see him when he's 17 or so, and starting to go with a girl. I could give him lots of pointers, very sound, of the ways to get round any girl. I could tell him, wait a minute, could it be? What the hell? What if he's a girl? Oh, Bill, what would I do with him? What could I do for her, me? Bum with no money. You can have fun with a son, but you gotta be a father to a girl. It mightn't be so bad at that. A kid with ribbons in her hair, a kind of neat and petite little Tim type of a mother. What a pair. My little girl, pink and white as peaches and cream, is she? My little girl is half again as bright as girls are meant to be. Dozens of boys pursue her, many a likely lad does what he can. Faithful dad, she has a few pink and white young fellas, two or three, but my little girl gets hungry every night, and she comes home to me. My little girl, my little girl, gotta get ready before she comes. I've gotta make certain that she won't be dragged up in slums with a lot of bums like me. She's gotta be sheltered and fed and dressed in the best that money can buy. I never knew how to get money, but take it or die.
John Brancy, 20-year-old baritone from New York City, doing soliloquy from Carousel, Rodgers and Hammerstein. I mean, it really is like you know, one of those great, you know, like Nessun Dorma or something. It's phenomenal.
Of musical theater,
it's a, yeah. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous piece, and you just really live it, John. It is spectacular to hear you and see you do this piece.
Thank you.
And, you know, when you came on our show the first time, I remember you had just auditioned for the Juilliard School, and it hadn't been the pressure cooker you expected. Let's hear a little bit of that interview.
Well, I mean, I was definitely nervous in the first part of it, but once I got there and got in just right into the room, I just felt this wonderful welcoming, and they were just, sing all your pieces, just sing them. We're not here to critique you, really. It's just, we just want to hear good singing. It was definitely one of my most inspiring things in my young career.
So it was an auspicious beginning, and duh, you got in, of course.
Yeah.
And now you've been there for 3 years. What's it been like?
Well, it's changed me a lot.
How so?
In a very good way. I've learned that it's good to begin to take things slowly and realize the methods within studying music.
Were you kind of taking on too much too soon, or just kind of anxious, eager to please? Or
well, my first year, I actually ended up auditioning for I think about 7 or 8 competitions. And that on top of all the work that I was trying to accomplish being at school, it was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a little ambitious.
It's not that you can't take on a lot of work, but yeah, I mean, do you think that there's something to be said about really sort of living the music a little bit?
Yeah, it's good to you know, kind of let go of the ego and get into, you know, what the meaning of and the source of the things that you're doing, rather than, you know, looking for the product. It's good to just sit with yourself, with your voice, leave the ambition at the door, and begin to develop who you really want to be for the rest of your life.
And now, in your third year at Juilliard, you're saying that there's some extra pressure in your third year? Is this sort of a make or break sort of thing?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's by now it's the semi-professional version of school, and that was told to me by my ear training teacher at the end of our second year. You know, you guys, this is Miss Cox. He's like, now kids, the year coming up is going to be very, very difficult, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to teach you a lot. But this is our semi-professional year, and you got to give it all you got.
Because you're going to be looking at what you're going to be doing when you get out of school.
Exactly.
Way, really,
exactly.
Very seriously.
And really, you know, really preparing for the roles and knowing your voice and knowing what you need to do. So.
Well, that's great advice. I've heard that you had sort of a really almost a spiritual sort of inspiring moment in your one of your opera scene classes, I guess.
Yeah. I was working with my director, Ed Berkeley, and we do this twice a week. This was last year in my what we call the JOS, Juilliard Opera Scenes, and I was standing in front of the class. All of my classmates were there, and it was, I finally had that connection with text, music, and sort of a spiritual meaning of all those things at Juilliard. It was a very amazing feeling to finally have that, and I knew at that point that was going to be a tool that I could use for the rest of my life. It was a real stepping stone.
Well, and I would imagine, you know, for instance, the soliloquy that you just did, the fact that it's a musical theater piece, it's singing, but it's also putting across character, and you're also doing it in colloquial English, in a language that you know. Does that carry over? I mean, for instance, when you're doing Lieder, when you're doing opera, you know, German, Italian, French, in terms of kind of getting inside the texts?
Yeah, well, I've learned from, you know, most of my coaches and teachers that it's to really be able to communicate the songs in other languages, you have to be able to speak the poetry at a level of absolute calmness and naturalness. I spent some time in Austria and also in Italy this summer, and both of those experiences really allowed me to understand the speech and the way that people, you know, the way that people communicate. And so when I perform in those languages now, it's much, much easier.
Obviously, the work you're doing at Juilliard is about being totally submerged in your training, but, and it's a very mind-centered experience, but how about the body? I mean, don't you want to get out and punch a punching bag once in a while?
Once in a while, yeah, and once in a while I do. Mm-hmm. After the first year, I played football for a while, and by the way, go Ohio State. Yeah. I played football for a while, and once I got to school, it was just stopped completely, and there's no sports at Juilliard, so a bunch of
really?
My... Yeah.
I thought they were known for their football team.
Absolutely
no.
None. So, I mean, there were some rugby players that would meet on the street and be like, "You're gonna come play with us? Come on, let's go play some rugby." And I'd be like, "I don't really think I can do that." So, a bunch of friends and myself, we ended up joining the YMCA on 63rd.
It's a great Y.
Yeah, it's really nice. Yeah. It's got a great community, great trainers, and everything. Yeah. And we're actually working on coming up with a workout routine specifically for performers.
Sure.
You know, releases tension but also builds strength and the right kind of power. Mm-hmm. So while we're working out, we're also coming up with new ideas and ways to benefit ourselves.
That's great. Well, actually, yeah. You were on the show in Bethesda, and you know, I was working out at the hotel, and there you were.
Yeah,
you know?
I came down. I didn't know what I was doing then. I just kind of like sat down. I was like, "Hey, Chris O'Reilly's benching it. I'm going to try and bench."
And, you know, keeping the body in tune, I remember you talking about being a foodie when you were on that earlier show, and I suppose another way you get away from it all is cooking.
Yeah.
You actually won an award for one of your sauces?
Yeah. This summer I was in Greve in Chianti, Italy, for a vocal program. And while I was there, I ended up cooking for probably three nights out of the week. And by the end, I had a group of 14 people who came to have my bolognese sauce. Mm-hmm. And I got this secret recipe that was handed down to me completely by chance.
From one of the locals?
One of the locals. Yeah. One of the this woman who runs the butcher in the piazza.
Wow.
And everybody calls her Nonna. And she gave me the secret recipe, and I brought it back. I brought the recipe back to the States. And I was relaxing, flipping through channels, and I saw that come to Vineland, we're having a sauce cooking competition this Friday. So I was like, I decided to bring my sauce there, and I won third place.
Congratulations.
Against all the, yeah.
Winning in all aspects of your life.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to all of the great triumphs in all aspects of your life, and it's a great joy to be with you and play with you again.
It's a pleasure,
John.
Working with you.
Bravo again.
Thank you.
Thanks. John Brantzy, one of the great young singers we've met over the years here on From the Top.
When she's not touring with the indie rock band The Rentals, today's 10th anniversary alumni guest Lauren Chipman might be the coolest string teacher on the West Coast. Visit our website to see Lauren in action. All that and more on FromTheTop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Liberty Mutual, offering auto, home, life, and business insurance for a variety of needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy? From the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. From the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and from U.S. Trust, believing that the arts have a worth all their own in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians. This is NPR.
Welcome back to the Radio Showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. From the top, we're celebrating our 10th anniversary year, this week from Swayze Chapel on the campus of Denison University in Granville, Ohio, with an all-alumni show featuring some of our favorite performers from past programs. Coming up, Chris joins three outstanding alumni string players in a movement from the 4A Piano Quartet in C minor. From the top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence. Our performance here in Granville is made possible by Denison University's Vale Series.
So I'm still playing classical music, and I absolutely love it. This is me. I'm Lauren Shipman. I'm playing viola in Mozart's Sinfonia Concertante with my good friend and violinist Danielle Belen at Royce Hall. But let's go back a little bit. After my appearance on the second season of From the Top, I finished high school and was accepted to USC. There, I pursued my undergraduate degree in viola performance, and I was playing with major symphonies in Los Angeles. I also started a string quartet, and we were going on our first international tour. My career path was pretty much set in my mind when I received a phone call.
I have written enough, there's enough to sing, or a song of remembering.
It was Matt Sharp, lead singer of The Rentals. He was looking for a violist. I'd never heard of Matt or The Rentals before, but my friends were pretty excited, as The Rentals are kind of big on the indie scene. I'd never played outside of a classical setting before, but Matt and I really hit it off. And before I knew it, I was playing viola, keyboards, even singing in an indie rock band. After a few records and a couple of tours, I went from playing simple string parts to being truly creatively involved. This is one of my favorite rental songs, Song of Remembering. Joey Santiago from the Pixies contributed his iconic guitar sound on it. Now, I wrote and played all the keyboard and string parts, and the reason I love this song is because it's so dense, yet my parts really come out of the texture. Remember that string quartet I used to play in? Well, I still am in a string quartet, only we don't play classical music. The group's called the Section Quartet, and in addition to playing live shows of our own arrangements of rock songs, we play in a lot of recording sessions for bands. Here we are playing with Sam Phillips on her song, I Need Love.
I need love, not some sentimental prison.
It's so hooky, and I absolutely love Sam's voice. So as you can guess, I'm in the studio a lot. It's LA after all. And I've even started writing and recording my own film scores. This score you're hearing is based on the rental song, One Last Prayer. I wrote it for synthesizers, four violins, and four violas with a tuned down B string, which is one of my favorite sounds in the world. I really love working on film scores because I get to add that visual element to the music. So let's do D major, Run Pony, Run Pony. Okay? But you know how I was saying that I still love classical music? Well, guess what? I teach it now. I've discovered that I love teaching, both kids and adults. I'm a firm believer that you can learn an instrument at any age and really succeed at it. I teach with a really strong technical foundation of musicality, but I always encourage my students to compose their own songs and write parts for rock songs. I mean, that's what I do.
Let's do G major. Pepperoni pizza, and I'll play with you.
Okay. Speaking of teaching, I had a really interesting experience this past Labor Day. I was teaching one of my younger students, and her mom said, "Why don't you stay for dinner? We're having deep dish pizza." Well, being from Chicago, I had to stay. Anyways, the student wanted to sit next to me at dinner, which is exactly what I would have wanted to do with my teacher back when I was her age. I don't know, it was just one of those moments where I realized that I had become the adult and the mentor. My musical life is so varied and so full in ways that I never could have imagined back when I was on From the Top.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lauren Chipman. So Lauren, how old were you when you first played on From the Top?
I was 17 years old back in the day.
Back in the day, and now the ripe old age of 26, yes. And definitely one of the coolest careers I could ever conceive of. It's just so exciting to hear all
Thank
the things
you.
You've been doing. And we've run you also, I played with you with the New West Symphony
mm-hmm.
in California,
yeah.
So had a great time there.
Yeah.
You're just doing so much great stuff, and my God, we went to see, I mean, it's not like she's playing backup viola for a rock band. She's not like window dressing people. She is out there in front. We saw her at House of Blues in Cleveland, and she's a rock star. I'm not exaggerating. She's a rock star.
Thank you.
But I'm glad to hear that amidst all the great stuff you're doing in LA, you're still keeping up your classical chops. And I remember the last time we played together, you brought a really interesting piece. What Theme and Variations by?
By Shulman.
Shulman.
It's a really great piece.
And
it's
really kicked
fun.
Me in the butt.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a hard piece for piano. And so now here you are again. We're going to play music together by two classical composers. Now we're going to finish with the 4A Piano Quartet. It's going to end the show. But first, again, a piece that I've never heard of before by a composer who I admire, Darius Milhaud.
Mm-hmm.
So here you are again, playing incredibly imaginative stuff. Tell everybody
Thanks.
About the piece.
The piece I'm going to play is called Quatre Visages by Darius Milhaud. Now, it's a true character piece. Quatre Visages in French means four faces. So the composer wrote this thinking of four specific women in his life. The first one is La Californienne, which I'll be playing. Then the second one is La Wisconsinienne. It's kind of a Midwest kind of tune. And then the third one is La Bruxoise, which is very sad and gray because it rains all the time in Brussels. And then finally, the last one I'm going to play is called La Parisienne, which is the Parisian. And I love these pieces because you can really see the women that he's trying to portray.
So we'll hear the two, the Californienne mm-hmm. and La Parisienne.
Thank you.
Lauren Shipman, a 26-year-old alum of From the Top. Lauren's helping us celebrate our 10 years on the air. Lauren lives in Los Angeles. I love that piece. I mean, and Mio does this, wonderful thing. It has a, even La Californienne has this insouciant air, this bitonality that, really, that he does, that, you know, as if to say, what, there's nothing wrong here. And he's playing it, in a completely different key.
Yeah.
And it has such great color and warmth, and you bring such life to it. And,
thank you.
And such narrative presence.
Thank you,
you know,
so
it's
much.
It's just beautiful playing that with you. Lauren, there's one more very L.A. thing you do. I mean, this could only happen in L.A., your new business.
Yes. Well, what you have to know about me first is I love things that sparkle. Like anything, like I'll be passing a store window and I'll see something shiny and I'll run up to it like like some sort of animal. And so I was recently on a tour, and when you go on tour, there's a lot of downtime. So what ended up happening was I was, because I'm kind of crafty too, I was making a headband and I was gluing jewels on it because I wanted something that would stand out on stage. Mm-hmm. And my friend, Anne-Marie Calhoun, who's a violinist, she said to me, I have a great idea. We should glue sparkles on violins. And I'm like, yes, you know, this is my two sparkles and violins. Oh my God, it's going to be great, okay? So, of course, we don't glue on the violins, I'm sure.
Not on the wood.
No, I don't want to get any angry letters, and don't try this at home. But what we do is we take Swarovski crystals, which are the sparkliest of all the sparkles, and we glue them on violin accessories. So on tail pieces, mm-hmm. and mutes and pegs. And the great thing about it is, depending on what kind of music you play, you know, if you just want a little bit of sparkle, we can do that. If you want a lot of sparkle, we can definitely do that. And and you guys are laughing, but I think it's going to be really big.
So what do you call it? Do you have a name?
We have a name. It's called Baroque Bling.
All right, we like that. Baroque Bling.
Thank you.
So you outfit your electric viola.
Yes, my electric is covered in sparkles.
Well, I'm not sure Gabriel Fauré would have. I'm sure Gabriel Fauré would have.
He would have loved it.
He would have loved some bling. He was Parisian, right?
Yes.
But I want to keep your very non-blinged viola out now, so we can play this great piece. Finish
Sounds
the show
great.
With a Fauré. But Lauren, just great playing with you again.
Oh, thank
and so
you for
excited
having
about
me.
All the stuff you're doing.
Oh,
you're so great.
Thank you so much. It's really been a pleasure.
Real pleasure for me too. First, Joanne has a little business to take care of.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at fromthetop.org. Over the last 4 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded $1 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need, and we still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
Okay, now the Fauré we've been promising. We're going to play the final movement, Allegro Molto, from his first piano quartet in C minor. To do this, let's bring out two teenage colleagues, our 14-year-old violinist Anna Lee, who started today's show. And let's also welcome back another alum of From the Top, an excellent 17-year-old cellist from Cincinnati, Coleman Itzkoff. Before we play, I want to thank all of today's great performers. Great having you join us all again. And thank you for joining us and listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now we'll take this from the top. Thank you.
the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley for Tom Vagley Productions, with Tim Banker for From the Top. Musical direction by Tom Vinieri with Caroline Cardius Menos. Our tour producer is David Balsam. Our production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Willett with David Forbes and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. To download an application to appear in our program, visit fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Liberty Mutual, offering auto, home, life, and business insurance for a variety of needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy? From the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And from the Wallace Foundation, a source of ideas for expanding learning opportunities beyond the school day, at wallacefoundation.org. This is NPR.